Hey there, dudes. Welcome back to the Dude Nation podcast, where Ben and I are your wingmen on this journey of self-discovery.
That's right, Adam. And today we're diving deep into a topic close to our hearts, the power of self-awareness, discovering your authentic self.
Oh, yeah, Ben. It's time to wear our introspection hats and explore what makes us tick. Maybe you've asked yourself questions like, how can I become more self-aware and understand myself better? What are the benefits of self-awareness? How does it improve my life? And what are some practical exercises or techniques for developing self-awareness?
Those are great questions. And from peeling back the layers of our personalities to embracing our quirks and imperfections, we are here to guide you on a path to authenticity. Let's peel back the curtain and uncover the true essence of who we are. It's time to own our uniqueness, dude.
Welcome to the Dude Nation podcast, where we explore the journey of reclaiming healthy masculinity in today's world. My name is Adam Lamb, and I'm here with my co-host, Ben Curtis. And we challenge traditional notions of manhood, and we want to inspire you to embrace authenticity, vulnerability, and empathy. We offer a perspective in a society where masculinity stereotypes often overshadow men's diverse experiences. We explore emotional intelligence, mental health, relationships, and self-discovery. Whether seeking guidance on your journey towards self-improvement or simply curious about what it means to be a modern man, the Dude Nation podcast provides a safe space for exploration and growth. Let's reclaim healthy masculinity together. So Ben, probably need to start off by defining, like, what is self-awareness? How would you language that? What does it mean to you?
Self-awareness, to me, it's pretty on the nose, self-aware. I feel like men are often trained, especially myself, and speak for myself, but I see the conditioning of us to be aware of others, hyper-vigilant at all times, because we need to be the caretaker, the provider. However, I find not all of us men always have the awareness of what actually is going on with us. Not just outside. I think we're pretty aware of outside. We're evolved beings, and we know how to survive these days. But do we know how to thrive? And while we often look at outside as a lot of fear, awareness of what to fight off, what to protect from, I don't always find that we look at how can we become aware of all of the support we have around us. And then also the awareness self inside of what we're actually feeling and what we actually need. I think that's a great place to start, even just naming feelings. And can you identify how you're actually feeling and what your needs are? Especially around healthy boundaries is a great place where I started with self-awareness. What do I actually need and want in a relationship? I used to always leave that up to person B, the other person in the relationship, right, to partner, define, sure, that, because I was just all in for anything. But that was giving away. Again. Yes.
Happy. Happy. What do you, yes, want me to do? Let's go over here. What?
Yeah,
well, you're not a bad way of being.
Oh, right. I did bad. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll kind of whimper in the corner.
Exactly.
Gave away all my power and then forced my partners, in this case, women, into space of needing to become hyper-masculine to take up that space that I wasn't. And then there we are, back in a neutral relationship. It's not working. Adam, what do you, I'm already going pretty deep here, but let's keep it on service level or as deep as you want to go. Like, what is self-awareness to you?
Yeah, I think probably it's probably easier to define for me what self-awareness is not. And I'm reminded of that old adage, ignorance is bliss. And yet I know in this particular area, being unaware is not necessarily bliss, because that shit's going to come home to roost at some point, right? It's all going to come crashing down. At least it did for me. And I've been married and divorced several times. And in my present relationship with my wife, Jennifer, she and I would be in conversation and I would get, like, really triggered. And I wasn't really sure what was triggering me in the particular conversation. And very often it wasn't necessarily what was being said, but it somehow in my brain linked up to something that maybe my mother said, or the way that I interpreted the way my mother, I mean, she's a wonderful woman, but she's not necessarily very maternal. I think she'd be the first person to say she's a little self-obsessed. And again, that's not a bad thing.
But if you don't understand where your reactions are coming from, that's probably a great indication of wanting to take a moment and to embrace self-awareness, such that I had to be willing to go on the journey of finding out where these triggers came from, because the relationship was teetering at that point, right? And I had acted out in several other relationships. It took me going through this exercise I did with a resume where I basically kept the dates and the places that I worked and then deleted the paragraphs. And in those paragraphs, I put like what type of life events happened. I like reporting it like a reporter, like from a very neutral position. And then I would write what I made up about life and love based upon that experience. When relationships started, when they ended, did I lose people? Da, 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 da. When I finished that exercise and I actually looked back down at the paper, it was instantly evident to me that one of my coping mechanisms in my life had been when things were going tough at work, or I wasn't feeling valued, or I had some issue with self-esteem, I immediately pivoted to chase skirt. There had to be a conquest for me, because that's the one thing I knew how to do well. And so in those moments when I was feeling shitty about myself, I would often opt to have these extracurricular affairs just so I could prop myself up emotionally. And I didn't even know that was happening until I took that moment to go on this exercise, which if anybody wants some more information, they can definitely reach out to Ben and I at the podcast, and I'll be more than happy to send that format to you, because I think it's a great place to start. Because honestly, sometimes we don't know where the shit is coming from. And it could be an old relationship that's still there. It could be something our dad said or our mom said or something a teacher said. And very often I talk to my mother about this, about that thing she said at me, like that one time. And she's not, like, very often my parents had no inkling that what they said in that particular moment actually meant anything to me, because it's very often not what's being said, but it's the story that I make about it. So it's from an interesting perspective, be able to kick back and go, I'm pretty sure that that's not what they meant in the moment, but that is certainly what I made up about it. And that story I cling to for a long time in my life, until I was actually aware of the story. And then once I was made aware of the story, I can create another story to shift all that. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Yeah. Because in the same way it showed up in relationships for me that I was talking about as well, I identify with some of that, not necessarily the details, but
sure,
the general aspects of how we prop ourselves up. I got a lot of affirmation from fame and from the entertainment world that I didn't get from my relationships often. And I don't think we should get everything from every relationship, but I had zero to little self-esteem or love for myself. Despite believing in my talents, I couldn't hold money. I couldn't hold a relationship for too long. And what I was seeing and what you're just sharing there is my ex used to speak to me in a voice, not in the way that my mother spoke, but in the way I spoke to myself. Mm-hmm. The nastiest ways I spoke to myself would sometimes, as they come out in relationships, would come out of her mouth. And it was way too much to handle, because it sounded way too much like how I already spoke to myself. You're too this or too that, too sensitive, too feminine. All those things that I didn't actually realize were superpowers. But I judged myself, and I managed to attract people who were, while they were attracted to them, also judged me for it as well. Or I felt that way. That's what I made up about that. So then the other thing is, you know, I spent a lot of time developing myself as a coach, and I was doing all these landmark trainings programs. And one of their main core principles is integrity. And I was teaching and talking about integrity. And then I went home and drank. Actually, I was dog sitting for someone else who was out of the country, and I drank half a bottle of their best, whatever alcohol they had that night. And I realized somewhere deep in that bottle or the next morning that how I was treating myself didn't have integrity. I could have integrity everywhere else out in the world, but this was the first time. This was in my late 20s. I didn't put down alcohol till I was 30, and that took a village. massive village. Yeah. But the way I treated myself, and still to this day, that's the work each morning to develop, to keep the kindness practices. I can't show up for anyone else if I am in the, I like to call the itty bitty shitty committee. In your head.
Great way to put it, bro.
And so when I do the work to sit with my feelings, develop some self-awareness, it doesn't matter if I feel them or not, but having a morning practice is one of those ways I practice, as well as a men's circle. And that's why I developed this organization. It keeps me accountable to be aware and then go up and show up with other men. And just by being with you today, it's already developing more awareness for me, because I see, you know, when men open their mouths and hearts, what happens is we see each other, we see ourselves. And so the more we start to even share the places where we're not aware, thank you, Adam, for sharing all those spaces in your life where you weren't aware and weren't able to be aligned with a partnership or with yourself, what you really wanted and needed. That's the first step, is just developing a practice of at least sitting, practicing, listening for what our heart really wants or needs. We train our brains a lot, but I think listening to our heart is a power of self-awareness that I also want to talk about, because our heart has an electromagnetic field 10,000 times greater than our brain, and yet we don't study it enough. So thank you for bringing that awareness to me today. What are some practices in your life that you use to practice self-awareness? Obviously, yeah, you're in this men's organization as well. And we have a weekly call, but anything else that I didn't mention that's part of your practice?
Yeah, I think for me, it boils down to one particular concept, which is a pattern interrupt. I've spent most of my life as a chef in professional restaurants and hotels and resorts and things of that sort. And there's a certain way of being that chefs step into when they put on that apron, they put on their clogs. And it's a little dictatorial. You feel the pressure of the organization and the mission, and you're doing everything in your power to create a great outcome, not only for the guests, but also for your staff. But it can be a little abrupt, because you get used to not giving orders, but giving direction in a certain way. At least I did. And I would come home.
And you have to be very direct, right?
Yeah, very direct. Exactly.
And interrupt whatever's happening. Like, that needs to be heard in that moment.
Exactly. But what I was doing is I was just coming home, and then it took a couple of weeks. And then my wife looked at me one day. She says, I don't work for you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, you're in chef mode. And I'm like, see, I wasn't being self-aware enough in the moment. Even if it doesn't matter how long you've been doing this work, or if you're just starting the work, it very often comes back down to the same couple principles. And I love the adage of, as an apprentice, I chopped wood and I carried water. As a master, I chopped wood and I carried water. Because even in the most complex times, there are those things that I can do, just like metaphorically chopping wood and carrying water to get me over a particular, I don't know, emotional thing. Maybe I'm depressed. Maybe I'm backed up. Maybe I'm angry. And then I come back to, okay, what is there to do? To get back to my point with Jennifer, I had to create an opportunity for me to have a pattern interrupt. So my pattern was, I was in chef mode, and then I would come home. And even though that pattern interrupt might be 20 minutes in the car, I'm listening to music or listening to a podcast or whatever. Maybe you're listening to this podcast on the way home from your work. And before NPR talks about these driveway moments, right? You're listening to a show and it's so powerful that you shut off the car and you continue to sit in the car because you want to get to the end of the program and find out what happened. I would pull in my driveway, I would stop, and I would shut the car off, and I would sit there for about 5 minutes until whatever I was feeling in that moment just dissipated. Looking at how I was feeling, was I angry? Was I agitated? Was I still in that kind of dictatorial chef mode? It wasn't so much like that was wrong. It was just, I don't want anyone else to suffer because I'm being completely clueless in that moment. So that means I got to take a step back, sit for 5 minutes, just be quiet, see what's there without having to do anything with it. I don't need to wrestle a problem to the ground. I don't need to kick myself in the ass because I'm feeling depressed or anything. Just be aware of what's there so that when I can actually step through that door, I'm more back into my heart than I am in my head. So very often, while we're getting ready to have a conversation, we're trying to think about what there is to say in such a way that we end up getting what we want, as opposed to just being present to what there is to say, even though you might necessarily have the right words, but just to take a moment and say, listen, don't really know what I'm feeling right now, but I'm a little anxious and don't want to barf all over you with word salad, but I'm just could probably use a little bit of silence right now. So I'll just go in my office for minutes or whatever. It gives me a chance to ask for what I need. So that pattern interrupt for me is, I think, really important. You speak to meditation. Meditation is a great pattern interrupt because you're actually starting your day with the pattern that you want, which is, I think a lot of people have this misconception about meditation, like you're going somewhere or you're doing something. But in fact, it could just be sitting in silence, man, and just noticing what's there. And again, not assigning any type of meaning or interpretation or responsibility to that. Just to notice what's there, because once it's noticed, you talk about the itty bitty shitty committee. I call my ego Sluggo, right? And sometimes Sluggo's talking mad shit to me. And sometimes I just have to tell him, take a minute and say, thank you for caring. Fuck you for sharing. I got this. Your very well practiced way of being, your story about trying to keep me safe, I appreciate that, dude, but I'm no longer in the cave. I'm not going to chase by a saber toothed tiger. I got this. And thank you very much, because that voice in your head is never going to go away. So the question is, like, how do I notice it, not make it wrong? And a dear friend of mine, Jeannie Sell, is that just agree with it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So Sluggo would say, you're full of shit. You shouldn't try this because you'll fail. He's just trying to keep me safe. He doesn't want me to be embarrassed or whatever, or feel any type of emotional hurt. So I would go, you know what, Sluggo, you're right. I'm full of shit. And then all of a sudden the voice just goes.
Works with people who have bipolar. Sorry. That also works with people who have borderline personality disorder. So if anyone really does, rather than trying to be defensive or work your way around it, you just agree with them, because then there's nothing to struggles happen when two people are tangoing.
Yeah. And I appreciate a certain amount of contrast and conflict, because I think in those type of moments, there's always a much better outcome than either I or the other person would thought of. It's what's great about getting into a great conversation, but not being so committed to your position that you won't necessarily listen and consider what they're saying. But yeah, there are some days where I don't want any conflict or contrast. I just want it to go smooth.
Yeah.
And that's usually when that shit sneaks up and bites me in the ass. So anyway.
We're saying sitting as well. I think it's great to talk and pattern interrupts. You mentioned this isn't like a practice that you just do one and done, right? This is, in fact, any of us men, chances are none of us were taught any of this growing up. And we have how many decades doing something differently or the same way? So also some compassion here for ourselves on this process. One of the things when my wife so lovingly brings up something that I need to hear, a reflection, oftentimes I just say, oh, wow, thank you so much for helping bring that to my awareness. And actually, now that you say it, I noticed it too. Going forward, hopefully I'll be able to change that, because I do appreciate, I do want to work on this. And I do want you to have the experience of, you know, being able to hear me or whatever it is. But also, important not to give that responsibility to our partners to hold us accountable for that. And I think I was just talking to someone about this accountability buddy, a trusted listener. That's what I find beautiful about the men's circle, is it may not even have to be someone as well. Sometimes it can be helpful to be someone you don't know as well.
Sure.
But a safe and sacred space, whatever that hat is with you, with God, with nature. But I really find it helps to have another human being to reflect that with, to hold that into, you can leave things with. And my partner and I had a beautiful conversation the other day about the importance of needing to have that. I'm realizing I'm developing the awareness that that I need safe spaces to be able to talk about intimacy and sex and my experience so that I can show up and be the best partner. And that I actually do need to process these things out loud with other humans that look and feel like me and have the same amounts of testosterone and also have this appendage between their legs that they have to deal with on a daily basis.
Actually, there's three appendages.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if really,
yeah. And it's like a record. We have this deep worn groove that we've been playing for decades. And so to pick the needle up and try to listen a little differently or practice sitting for a little bit, and a meditation could be going on a walk. And then the one other thing I wanted to put in was visualization that you said, and actually create how you want to feel. Yeah. That it helps to sit, or sometimes for me to walk, to really start to visualize, like turn my brain on. But it's a great time to practice doing that. How would you want to feel today? How do you want your day to go? Because we spend plenty of time worried about all the worst case scenarios. And if our thoughts create our words, create our world, then we practice thinking about how we want it to go, then we actually have 100% more likely chance of it actually happening that way.
Yeah. Hugh Jackman has a practice. The guy that played Wolverine has a practice where before a meeting or particular event, he actually gets into a dialogue with himself internally and basically describes how that situation is going to end up being. I walked into the situation. I knew what there was to say. I didn't feel rushed or nervous. Da, 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 da. And so my wife and I have been calling that a future projection. And it could be right before getting on a phone call. I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life where if the phone rang, I thought it was always bad news, right?
I still experience that sometimes. Yeah, I still have the response, nervous system response.
Yeah. So how do I look at a phone? How do I look at my cell phone going off in an unrecognized number and get myself grounded in such a bit? In such a way that no matter what happens, I'll be unflappable and be cool and calm under pressure. And I wish I had done that before I called our solar repair company, because they put me through a loop for about an hour and a half. And I was so pissed by the end of it. I couldn't even articulate, because they bounced me from them one company to another. And I basically had to say, you guys know that I don't care about who's scheduled to do what. I'm the customer, and my expectation is that this problem is going to get solved. So can you solve this problem? Because I'm like sick and tired of trying to be like, I'll be my best own advocate. Shit, man, don't put me through the ringer such that I feel stupid that I'm even calling you guys to begin with, because I can do almost everything with this system except for this one fault that happens in the PVC shutout. And then someone's got to come out and do a physical thing. It's like, anyway.
Adam, no, I don't know anything about it. I lived in New York for too long.
I know.
While I coach solar companies, none of them are that. And
well, exactly. And it's not necessarily the detail, although sometimes a story can connect me with what I'm actually trying to talk about. But
trying to talk about
what I wanted to say that this idea of being self-aware or being willing to be self-aware, I think is one of the most pivotal decisions a person can make in their journey of self-discovery. Mm. And it all comes down to this one idea that I embrace, which is I want to try to be 1% better than I was yesterday. Meaning that I want to be 1% smarter. I want to be 1% more empathetic. I want to be 1%, because when I talk about making big changes in my life, very often that has me closed down. Like, oh shit, man, that seems to be too tough. It's too far to walk. That's too big of a hill to climb. But if I'm talking about 1%, then it means that I can actually do one thing today that's actually going to end up being creating a better life for me tomorrow. And I think all of us can agree that we'd like our lives to be a little bit better, you know, in whatever way that's possible. The thing is that to own it and say that I am at cause for my life, I can actually do this. I don't have to wait for someone else to do it, like my partner or my boss or the government. Like giving our power away to all those other entities really denies us the personal leadership that we need in order to not only create a great life, but also to be the leader that people in our lives are looking for. The feminine, if there's a lack of leadership, the feminine is going to step in every single time. So if there's, and I'm not talking about situational leadership where my wife likes to pay the bills and I like to mow the lawn, like those, that's completely, that's more balance in the relationship. I'm talking about giving my power away and waiting for someone else to fix it when really the only person with the power to change anything. So.
Amen to that. I really appreciate that. And a tool that I found to turn around my day and immediately, and I just posted about this on our Instagram, was I say, dude, how's your day going? And this lady the other day said it was, she was like, oh, it'd be a lot better if when my day's over. And I said, gosh. And I said, she was like, how's yours? And I said, I'm really grateful to be alive and to be here. And she said, wow, I wish more people thought like you. And I said, I didn't wake up this way, but actually knew how you're doing has me feeling a lot better. And then I've seen this woman at the grocery store, this manager for 3 years now. For the first time ever, would you know that I finally looked at her name or asked her name? I never do that. And her name's Grace, which is my favorite name. I wanted to name our unborn child Grace. I used to fight with my wife about it. It's got to be Grace. And I said,
that's what I need in my life right now is Grace.
Yes, exactly. For 3 years, I said, wow, this is the first time I've looked at your name tag. I'm sorry. That is my favorite name. And it's nice to actually know yours. And she was like, wow, thank you. And I was so lit up after that. And I had been sick all day and felt horrible and depressed and useless. When it can be with that, like being of service, that's why I want to say, if you want to start to develop some accountability to turn this stuff around, there's nothing like being in a men's group. I just keep looking at the examples and it's all accountability. It's all men in my life who constantly will share self-awareness, who will tell me if I'm being an asshole, who will tell me if I'm being selfish, and who will tell me how beautiful I am. And how much love and wisdom I have. Yeah, I don't get that acknowledgement the way I would like always from my partner and nor from myself. And I can't always even hear it from other people, but I can count on them to be that until I can soak it in. We'll love you until you learn to love yourself.
Again, we want to thank you for listening and giving us an opportunity to talk about these really important aspects of what we're starting to call the Dude Nation Manifesto. It's kind of this creed that we're developing that we're going to start embracing more of some of these ideas. And of course, self-awareness is at the very top of that, because without that, everything else doesn't happen. If you're starting to go on your journey of self-awareness, we welcome you. If you're well on your way to self-awareness, welcome to brother Matt. Please visit us on Instagram. We love to interact there and get conversation started and answer your questions about what are the topics that you most want to listen to, what's going on in your life that we can perhaps assist you with. And the Dude Nation is here for a very specific reason, and that is to empower men to embrace their authentic and healthy masculinity. And that's not always easy out there. So if you're doing it alone, stop. Can't do it alone. It takes a community. And we want to welcome you into the Dude Nation community. Ben, any last words?
Yes. Welcome, dudes. And please come join our community on School. That is where we are thriving. That's where our calendars are. And we have calls and spaces and classes and circles to wrap around you in every area of your life, whether you're a young dude or an old retired dude, or somewhere in between. Even those single fathers out there, we got your back. So however you are today is perfect. And just like Adam said, if you're doing it alone, stop it. Come join us.
Stop doing that.
And share this with someone who needs to hear it today, because the more you raise your voice and the more you share the things that matter to you, the more you amplify this message out in the world.
That's it for this episode of the Dude Nation podcast. Be part of the movement to redefine what it means to be a man in today's world. Let's reclaim healthy masculinity together. And until next week.
Dude.
good.